I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to House Plans. Glad you could be with us this morning. Chris and JD in the house. Keith Clark here from the Buyer's Broker.
I'm here.
Ready.
I'm here. I showed up.
Show up.
Keep up.
Shut up. That's a sitter, right?
That's actually a PGA Tour.
Is it?
Yeah, that's what they tell the caddies when they
when they talk too much.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A caddy should be seen but not heard.
They make pretty good money.
They do. Well, if you're a golfer,
if you don't go home on Friday,
yeah. if he can put, that's
yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Sometimes I feel like I should be sent home on Friday.
You know, there's a lot of I read an article this week. There's a it's starting to gain some traction where they're talking about 4-10s instead of 5-8s.
Oh, I did see that too. Yeah, let's go work 4-10s. But see, I'm already working 5-12. So how does that work out?
Exactly. I was going to ask about Dan. He'd be working. Let lower him down to 3-3s.
Yeah, there's always something. I did see that on the news a lot this week.
Yeah, the French, I think, work 4-8s.
Well,
yeah.
You know, there's somebody to follow. You know? The French are doing it. We'll do it, too.
Yeah, I think they did.
They won
the World Cup.
In 6 weeks. When they come to the U.S., they get those 6 weeks, I think.
Somebody tweeted on the thing and said, you know, if France wins, is it really a sport?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. The games, the semifinals were just like crazy amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, like the best soccer I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you know, I was pulling for England, and of course they just lost right at the very end, but it was – truly, those two games, the semifinal game, were just amazing.
Yeah. I didn't watch much of it. I watched a little bit of the final that day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was a little more than what you watched, Keith.
Kiefer's holding up a zero over
yeah.
there.
Not for me.
Listen, y'all, you got to try it just once. You know, I am actually going up to Charlotte tomorrow to watch Liverpool play.
Oh, really?
Did any of them kneel for the national anthems?
No, they all stand up and sing God Save the Queen.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, they are passionate. Of course, they probably say the same thing about college football.
It's the biggest
fans.
Global sport, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And so,
I do watch it sometimes, once in a while, but I don't have any interest in it. I watch it because it's a sport.
You got to pick you a team, Keith.
Yeah.
Yeah, pick you a team, and it makes a big difference. Then you can... I tell you what is funny. We have a couple of guys that work for us that grew up over there or big soccer fans, and I was talking to them. And, you know, when Liverpool played for the Championship League final, he kind of reminded me of a Carolina fan because he was like, yeah, I can't pull for them. I'm like, you're from England.
Yeah.
And
right.
I'm like, you're telling me you'd rather the other guys win? He's like, yeah. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Don't they riot after they win?
Oh, listen, they riot after they win. Yeah. They riot after they lose.
It's like West Virginia.
Yeah, that's distasteful to me.
Burn couches and everything else.
They have a great time.
They call them hooligans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But it is funny to sit down and talk to one. So one day I was down there and I knew Liverpool was playing that day. And so I said to David, I said, I appreciate you wearing red today. He said, I'm never doing that again. But I will tell you this, talking about being passionate, true story. We were in Manchester, which, you know, Manchester United, Manchester City. And it was cold and rainy, but we were there. And Mitchell had on his Liverpool jersey with a jacket over it. So you could see about 1 inch of the collar. And we're walking into this bar in Manchester, and the bouncer tapped him and said, you can't wear that in here.
Really?
And I said, can't wear what? And he said, that Liverpool jersey. And I was like, well, you can only see an inch of it. He said, last guy wore one of those in there, it wound up in the fire. He said, you can't wear that in here. And he made us go. We were right across the street from the hotel. He made us go change before he'd let us inside. Oh, and that is no joke.
Wow.
That seems out of bounds to me.
It seems perfect. They are passionate.
They are.
I mean, they don't mess around.
I respect it.
About as passionate as we are about real estate.
Yes.
We didn't give it much real estate in on that first segment.
No, we did. That's how much planning we did for the show today. We need
some
callers.
We're going to have some callers today.
Callers and texters.
Callers and texters. People that want to know something about real estate, ask us a question. Pick up the phone. Give us a call, 866-442-7553. We'd love to hear from you. Or, of course, you can text us at 71307. We do have the June numbers, so we could talk about that a little bit. We'd much rather answer your question, call, or take your comments at 866-442-7553. And, again, the text line, 71307. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. We'll be right back after this.
That's right. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark here with the Buyer's Broker. Keith heading to the beach today, he said. He's got to be excited.
He's already on vacation.
He is.
Yeah, I haven't left yet, but I'm gone.
Yes. That's right. I hear you, man. Well, I hope you guys have a good week down there.
We will have a
good week. So if you've got a question or comment, we are taking your calls today, 866-442-7553. And, of course, the text line is open as well. At 71307. We do have our first call. We got old Robert from Greenville. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's happening?
Thanks for kicking off the show.
I heard my cue. He said rolling in a caller. I was like, oh, God, there's my cue.
Yes.
you know, I live over on the Furman side of Greenville, and recently there's been a lot of these little homemade or handmade signs popping up. It used to be we buy houses. You know, we buy houses now, and we won't talk about JD signs because they're very nice. Anyway, one of them now is like, I've seen several that say, investment house for sale, cash only, needs everything. And I wish you guys would just kind of warn some of the newer going-to-be house flippers and investors that make sure it'll qualify. I mean, if you got the cash and don't care, that's fine.
That's right.
Or if you want to self-fi, but I wish you guys would spend a few minutes talking about you're going to kill yourself after you remodel it, waiting months on a FHA or a VA even, and
that's
the
right.
house doesn't even qualify. The roof, the porch, you know, whatever, the bathroom, nothing's going to meet code or whatever. So could you guys talk about that? Because some guys I was talking to the other day at the clock in Berea, they were kind of in the dark. They're like, yeah, but it's cash. You can run in there and scoop it up. And I'm like, only if you find the cash person on the other end.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Great comment.
I'll shut up and let you guys share your wisdom and knowledge. We do listen, and we love you guys.
All right.
Hey,
Thank you, Robert. Yeah, it's a great question. You know, Robert makes an excellent point. If you are going to buy and flip, he's not talking about buy and keep. He's talking about buy and flip. If you're going to buy and flip, and then, as he said, there's a couple of things. One, while you're doing the renovations, there's obviously no cash flow. There's a lot of cash flow going out, none coming in. But then we have had situations where investors go to sell that property, and there are some restrictions about how long you have to own it if you're doing an FHA transaction.
I just had one for a friend of mine. His son was buying a house over in Spartanburg, and the people in Spartanburg who purchased the home – they do a lot of buy and flip. Come in, they buy an old house, do some renovations and that sort of thing. And
great way to make money.
It is. It was and they do it, pretty well. We didn't realize that the title had flipped. You know, that they had just purchased a property like 3 weeks prior to the contract being written. So we're running down the FHA road, which was perfect for this particular borrower.
Which is what a lot of those first-time home buyers use.
Yep.
You know.
And of course, the appraiser goes out and first of all, makes note of the recent title flip, that sort of thing. And then not only that, had a list of three or four things that needed to be repaired to meet the FHA standard. Well, as soon as we find out about all that, now all of a sudden we go from a 30-day contract and find all this out. Now we only have 18 days left, and we got to basically pull the chain on the bus.
Yep.
Put the brakes on and start all over, you know, basically from scratch.
Yeah, and so for FHA, JD, I think it's inside. So you got two rules. The first rule is inside 90 days.
Yes.
And that's a no-go.
Yep, no-go at all.
You cannot do FHA at all. The second rule is if you're inside of 180 days, so you're from 91 to 180, then you have to do two appraisals. And then you have to figure out which one is the best representation of value, and the borrower cannot be charged for that appraisal.
That's correct. And the other thing is you can't even write a contract until the 91st day.
That's
right.
They
don't allow you to write a contract and go, well, we're not going to close for 65 days or whatever it is. You have to wait until the 91st day to even write the contract. So, you know, if you're buying in this particular house, I think was maybe around the 140, 150 range, you know, something like that.
Perfect for FHA.
Perfect FHA. And, you know, what the weird part was the borrower qualified for this, but then when we flipped it to conventional, his debt to income was a little too high to qualify. So now all of a sudden we got the Rubik's Cube working.
Sure. You know what comes to my mind when you guys are talking are that in the government agency and the agency world, they're looking at both the borrower and the property.
That's correct.
In the conventional world, they're more concerned about the value of the collateral.
Yes.
And they just look at it differently.
Certainly.
So when you're looking at the property, when you begin to scrutinize the property from a governmental agency point of view, the guidelines are deep and wide, and they have some unique ones, right?
Very unique, yes.
You know, one of the ones that's changed, and I say recent, last couple of years, is that let's say that you have an old barn on the property or an old shed on the property that's painted. If it has chipping paint, it's going to have to be scraped and painted, and you're going to have to – now, people are going to laugh, but you're going to have to take a vacuum, and you're going to have to vacuum those chips.
Yes, right? off the ground.
Off the ground, because if you leave those chips there, the appraiser is going to come back and say, uh-uh.
And what Chris is talking about, we're talking about lead-based paint, too, because typically – those older properties built before 1978 have lead-based paint.
Yep.
And so that becomes part of the process.
And not only that,
18-inch crawl space.
18-inch crawl space. That's where I was going next. Yeah. You know, they're gonna check that out. They're also going to, you know, your steps can only be a certain height. You can't, you know, if you have a deck or something like that off the back and you have steps coming down.
Maybe required to put a handrail.
Poles.
Yes,
Now they're required to do pool inspections to make sure that.
And for the new, Robert was referring to people getting into the business, investing business. I call that a learning curve because until you run into it, you won't believe it. You won't think about it.
You would not believe. Now, how come I can't sell this house?
It doesn't make sense, right? Yeah. Why?
Well, you can, just like Robert said, if the buyer's got cash, fire at it.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, here's a little known rule that I ran up against this week that is an FHA rule. So let's say you're on a well and septic. Couple of things are there are specific guidelines about how far those have to be from each other and how far they have to be from the property. So if you're a seller, you better plan on getting a survey because most of your FHA buyers don't have the money for that. And that survey is going to need to show the location of the drain field, the location of the septic tank, and the location of the well. And here's the little known rule. If public water is available,
you got to connect.
Well, If the rule is, basically what it says is if it's affordable and it can be done, and their definition of affordable is...
Where is that gray area?
is if it costs less than 3% of the purchase price, then you have to hook up. And so we had one this week, $200,000 property, guy doing a cash out refi. And when the loan was done 4 years ago, public water was not available. Today, public water is available, $1,500 to hook up. Well, guess what? You don't have to hook it up.
Yeah. Really.
And, you know,
somebody's got to pay for that. I mean,
that's right. So that's a $1,500 expense if you're a flipper that you need to know about. And guess what? You can't go around it.
Yeah.
It's in the guide. It's very specific. Another thing that we had this week, it's funny when we always have these things come up, but a shared well.
Yeah, I heard Joe and them talking about the shared well.
Yes.
That's a nightmare scenario.
Who shares their well?
Yeah, whose property is it on?
Typically people who find my pipeline.
And you have to, I bet you have to have an agreement,
You have to have a shared well agreement. Just like if you had a shared driveway.
Right.
And so this was all on the same loan. And, of course, the list for the well was four or five deep. And I said, just pay the money and hook up to the
Remember,
water.
Your mom always said share your toys and all that kind of stuff. You don't want to share wells and, yes. and driveways. No.
Listen, I've had a property where you had a – I had a – this was crazy. We had one time where they built a small cabin on an adjacent lot because they were going to build their second home on the lot right on the lake. And what they did is they put in a shared septic. And you think, well, it's the same two people that own it, and not so easy.
Sure.
You know, so you got to be careful about things like that. And, of course, to Robert's point, it'll keep you from getting your money back when you go to sell it. And those rules for FHA are very specific, just like they are for USDA. And to Keith's point, condition of the property, safety issues, all
safety is big, yeah, that's the big.
And what they're doing is trying to protect the borrower and themselves.
Absolutely.
Right? So they view it as being mother government managing that risk.
Yes.
I've got a solution to all of it. If you'll think about resale from the beginning of your real estate transaction,
sure. yeah.
you'll do much better. I was talking to a client yesterday, and he was talking about square footage. He didn't want – so he wants to buy these right sizing, split-bedroom ranch, but he doesn't really need that bonus room. And I said,
right.
well, the resale market will reward you for that bonus room, okay?
Yes.
You may not want it.
Yeah.
Right.
But
you may not even use
sell it.
Yep.
It'd
the
be
pool
a key
of buyers
component,
is
yeah.
going to be – that's going to be an important asset.
Yeah.
And so if start your real estate transaction by, of course, asking how long am I going to be in the property – and then when I get ready to sell it, how well am I going to do?
That's buyer's broker, like number 68.
That's right.
Yeah.
Rule
number 68. Well, and, you know, one of the other things we need to address, and Keith, I know when you've worked with folks that were out buying investment properties, if you're going to keep it, you better do a cash flow analysis. And you need to remember not to count the taxes that are listed online because they could be at a discounted rate. And, you know, we've talked often on the show about 4% versus 6%. And people think, well, look, it's going to go up a third. No, it's the opposite of that. It goes up two-thirds.
Yeah. And I think it's the biggest thing that people getting into the investment business do not know.
Yeah.
It's the number one rule that they do not know. They are all surprised when
yes.
you tell them that the taxes are going to go from $1,500
to $5,000.
Yeah.
It's actually more than
yeah.
three times.
Yeah, I mean, it'll get their attention. And of course, it can have a major impact on your cash flow.
Sure.
So you better be calculating that. And then, JD, is it still, if you are going to get in the game and you're going to finance it, let's say that you're going to keep it for a while. I know there's been some changes to loan to value. Best loan to value is 75 or less?
On a purchase?
No, on a purchase of an investment.
You can go 80%.
I know
that.
You can, but it's 75 or less.
Oh, yeah, 75 or less going to give you the best deal as far as interest rate goes. 80, and I'll tell you, Chris, I'm starting to think there's an 85%
yeah, there's a couple
program.
Of
I think there's an
85.
85, yeah. Now you get into the PMI and all that, but if you have 15% to put into it, you can. And then the 80% is going to be a little, but 75 and better, and then, of course, 60% and lower is the ideal scenario.
And what kind
scenario.
Of rate hit would you take as an investment versus a private?
It might be, I'm just going to guess. I haven't looked at that particular program, and of course, you got credit scores and all that to factor in, but you'd probably go from 5 3/8 as the high end, that's your 85%, to maybe 4 7/8 or maybe 5% at 60%. So it's going to fall into that range. 75 is probably, you know, a quarter less in rate or something like that.
Well, and based on what's going on in the market right now, the Fed says, hey, now understanding the Fed controls the short end of the curve, not the long end of the curve. So short-term interest rates, not long-term interest rates. But they're saying that based on the recent inflation numbers that they're probably going to increase more than what they had originally said. And mm-hmm. so you got more coming, which is going to flatten out the curve and could actually flip it upside down, which is always scary.
How about them apples?
So I have a prospective client that is going to sell their home and get out of the primary business. They're going
right.
to sell their existing home and move into a family friend's home.
Right.
And they're concerned about a recession. That's
yeah.
their rationale. And Chris has said it. He thinks
yeah.
that we're
– Mark the tape. Yeah, recession.
Well, I just think that, you know, we've been in this long period of expansion. And, you know, part of the Fed's job is to keep inflation down. Last time the number came out, I think it was 2.3. Anything over 2 gives them heartburn. And so, you know, we would expect them to react accordingly. And it is always possible that they can get too aggressive and put the brakes on the whole thing. And, yeah, I mean, Trump was on the news talking about it last
Trump
week.
Trump will be after him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't slow me down. Don't slow me down.
He can't do anything about it, though.
I know. Well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. Phone lines are open, and we'd love to talk to you today at 866-442-7553. The text line will remain open as well at 71307. You're listening to Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. This is the House Plans Radio Show, and we're going to be back right after this.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker here to take your question, calls, comment, buying, selling, anything to do with real estate. Give us a shout this morning, 866-442-7553, or you can reach us on the text line, at 71307. That's 71307. So, Keith, this week, Fannie Mae came out, cut their forecast moving forward. They said it's not going to be as busy as we thought it was going to be. And, of course, they're talking about on a national level. And then I think you said NAR had done the same thing.
Yeah, well, numbers now. I was talking to Fritzy Barber on Wednesday. We had a broker update at the Board of Realtors, and we were chatting about it. You know, nationally it's flattened down, okay, mm-hmm. So around the country. But in our market, of course, we're up year-to-date about 8.5%, although this month we're going to go over the numbers. This month it was flat. Was up 1.5%,
yep.
I think.
Yeah.
So nobody knows, but I think we predicted 2 or 3% up. And then at the beginning, first quarter, most of the second quarter, we're thinking we're going to have another record, big record year, 7-8%.
Well, the conversation that's going on out there is, hey, the reason they're cutting their forecast is because there's nothing to buy.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm not sure I buy into that rationale. In terms of, I think you're just seeing a flattening of the market. I don't think it's all inventory driven. In our market, because the market is expanding, so it's not, we are growing at a higher rate because of the migration to the Southeast. And so you can just count on our market continuing to grow, prices continuing to rise. And I've even considered getting back into the investment game because
sure.
I think over the next 20 years, we will be a big city.
Yeah.
And so you're going to continue to see demand. Now, one of the anomalies that happens in a suburban market is that, believe it or not, it continues to expand geographically.
Sure.
And prices in the peripheral areas actually become more competitive. So if you look in Atlanta, if you're within 30 minutes or 40 minutes of downtown, you have a much greater demand.
And that's, that's 1.5 miles.
Yeah.
But if you go up 400 to the peripheral areas, maybe an hour's drive, you get a much more moderate pricing. You can
yes.
buy a lot more house for your money.
Sure.
You have large, huge neighborhoods with great amenities. And
But the cost of your Xanax for the drive goes up.
Well, that's
up.
True.
You do have
yep.
to get you a prescription
that's
because
right.
that drive is crazy.
We quit going to Atlanta.
I have family yeah. that live there, and they did exactly what you said, Keith. Hey, we want this size on this size lot with these features. And so they bought out. And then at one point in time, you know, she was working downtown. And she was like, it's the craziest thing.
And so her commute goes from 30 to an hour.
Hour and a half. And I'm like, hour and a half every day? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's yeah. crazy.
I'm out.
Talk.
And,
yeah.
and it's not an hour and a half at 65.
No,
it's
no,
an hour
sorry.
And a half between 8 and 22
that's
miles
right.
an hour.
Yeah.
That's enough to drive you batty. But we were talking about the numbers a little bit. So, you know, one of the things I did notice, Keith, you brought it up, is inventory. So what we're hearing around the national scene is inventory is a problem. But here, this month, if you look year over year, we're up 17% in inventory with 4,690 homes for sale and 4.5 months of inventory. In the last couple of months, that's increased. And so we're moving more and more toward that 6 month, which will put the market pretty much at equilibrium.
Yep. And then you'll continue to see the – I was out Woodruff Road yesterday.
Sorry to hear about that.
And you out to Chestnut Oaks all the way out where Jimmy lives.
Yep.
And they're building – Sable's putting in a – looks like a 200-lot neighborhood out there. But they're widening Woodruff Road, and it's going to look – it reminds me of Jimmy Carter Boulevard in Atlanta.
Sure.
15 years ago. But you're going to continue to see our market expand geographically all the way out to 101, down into Fountain Inn.
Yeah.
Powdersville's getting it. Chris, you know,
sure.
they're starting to
– Piedmont and Powdersville both, yep.
On the north side in TR, it is growing as fast as it can grow. Now, there's a little bit unique dynamic there down in Simpsonville. So, really, the market is expanding geographically.
Yeah.
It's we'll continue to.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. I was going to say, even on the east side, you know, it seems like even on the east side.
Don't say the east side, okay? we don't have to. Nobody needs to know about the east side.
Everybody already knows about it. And here's the problem: is you get a 3 square acre lot, or you know, a lot, and it turns into a neighborhood.
Yeah.
They make a neighborhood out of 3 acres. It's unbelievable. I've never seen.
Well, I saw
like
that
it.
Little infill deal going down Pelham Road where they got the little gate up and they.
Houses in there.
Yeah,
you know.
I talked to some residents this week about creating a PelhamRoadResidents.com organization, because if you don't get ahead of the developers, and some of my friends and colleagues are part of that zoning board, they never saw a development they didn't like.
Okay? That's true.
Okay, in Hilton Head, they have destroyed Hilton Head.
Yeah.
By development. It is absolutely
they're gonna
a
build
parking
on every,
lot on 278.
Yeah, they're going to build every square.
They're having to close the restaurants part-time because they can't get staff onto the island to work. They have no place to live. The staff has to drive 45 minutes into Hilton Head, and for the wages, they won't do it anymore.
Right.
And so smart growth needs to really be part of what, particularly as Greenville leaps forward from a medium-sized market moving towards a larger market.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that you brought up earlier, Keith, is, you know, it was flat in June, but still a lot of activity, 1,371 homes sold in the Greenville MLS versus 1,353, up 1.3% over last year. And then, of course, year to date, I would think we will still have a record year, up 8.5% with 6,800 sold in the first half of the year versus 6,200 last year. And so still up 8.5%.
Yeah, and on the ground, the buzz is still – everybody's as busy as they can be.
Sure.
So if you just talk to the community, to the real estate community, they'll tell you they're all as busy as they can be.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. You know, and I'll tell you this, there's still a little bit of a backlog of people trying to find the right home.
Sure.
Okay. And there's a lot of people circling out there looking for the right home.
Right.
So, you know, I agree with you that, you know, everybody blames an inventory, you know, problem. But I think there is a little bit. And what I mean by that is people, there's still a lot of buyers, a lot of first-time home buyers especially, that are out there and can't find that, what I, you know, the quote-unquote perfect home for what they want. You know what I'm saying?
Now, there is an inventory shortage. I didn't mean to imply that there's not an inventory shortage.
But it's improving.
But yes, it's improving a little. And I can't buy into the fact that the reason the numbers are flat a little bit is because of inventory. Mm-hmm. I think that pricing has become an issue. And particularly, the millennials don't have the resources that – now, they're in the game. They've gotten into the game where 3 or 4 years ago they really were just sitting on the sidelines. So they're out there, but there's some headwinds for the millennials. You've got high pricing. Interest rates are ticking up. Inventory is scarce. They're having to compromise a little bit.
Sure.
Whereas maybe if you go back 10 years – that first-time home buyer was just being patient to find the right house.
Right.
Today, that same
interest rate pressure too a little bit.
Yeah,
of course,
exactly.
We had rates. You know, they dropped back a little bit this week, but you know.
But the long term, they're going.
Yeah, that's
well,
correct.
But and of course, let's not forget a lot of people. If you do catch the national news, wherever it comes from, a lot of folks see that short-term rate going up, and they think it's impacting the long-term rates. and they think that it's the long-term rates have moved up more, you know. But right now, if you're getting a prime plus anything, you can get a fixed rate lower than that anywhere.
Yeah, really? That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which creates refi opportunities, which there's some
so
of those out there, too.
What you quoting today? You going to give us an interest rate update?
Well, like I had a guy call me this week. How much we got? 26. He said, man, I really want that 3 5/8. I said, here's good news. I can get it for you. Okay?
12.5 points.
It's going to be 12 points. Okay? It'll cost you about 50 grand. Yeah, but, you know, 400. But anyway. Hey, listen, you're heading to our final break. We'll be back after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans, final segment of the show. We want your calls. 866-442-7553. And the text line is open as well at 71307. Appreciate Robert sending the text over. He was gave us a good topic about the cash question. Of course, we went down the FHA road and chased that rabbit a little bit. And
yep. Talk about all those things you need to think about if you're going to flip it.
Well, let me tell you this. This week, before we get started, I did receive 3 refinance phone calls this week.
Really?
Yep. One was bye-bye PMI.
Yep.
All right. There's still a lot of bye-bye.
Of it. Yep.
And 2 were the home equity line question. They have the home equity lines. They're seeing their payment go up. They're seeing the rate go up. Can I combine with my first mortgage, you know, to kind of get into a fixed rate situation there?
So. Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, the expectation is the Fed is going to continue to raise rates. That will have a increased rate in your HELOC, most likely. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen. And so when that happens, you need to be prepared for it. And so some people are saying, I think I'll lock this puppy
and
in.
And, of course, rates are terrible, you know, mid to high fours, you know, 30-year money. I mean, you know, it's funny when you think about it.
Well, you know, right before we went to the break, J.D., you were talking about, getting lower rates and things of that nature. And while we were during that break, I've seen more and more people asking about paying points. So it might be a pretty good opportunity right now just to talk about that. So you're getting your loan, and, you know, do you pay points? Do you not pay points? And I think the most important thing is, you know, your interest rate on your mortgage is not a badge you can wear on your shirt. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, you can, but
it's not the way to do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And so the question is, what's the math look like, right?
Yep. It's all about the math, you know. And, of course, you know, typically when someone calls me and we're talking about different options, you know, I usually kind of give them the ABC, you know, hey, here's a rate I can get you if you do want to pay some points, and here's one with no points, and here's one with some lender credit or whatever. And, you know, most of the time people kind of look at, you know, people still sort of frown on points a little bit, but then we're starting to reach that echelon where people will consider paying some points to get that rate down to where they want it to.
Sure.
But again, it's a math equation. How much are you going to have to spend up front to be able to save that $20 a month or whatever
in
it
context,
is?
In context, J.D., the key variable is how long they're going to be in the house, right?
Right.
It is.
So you
it
really
is.
Start in terms of payback. Does it make sense?
Well, not how long are they going to be in the house. How long are they going to be in the loan?
In the loan.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. They could be 2 different answers.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, you know, one of my favorite sayings, you know, especially if I'm meeting face-to-face with a client, and I'll say, okay, well, you're going to have to spend $400,000 deal. Let's say there is a half point, which is $2,000, going to save $20 a month. Do you want to go ahead and write a check to me right now for $2,000, and I'll send you $20 back for, you know, for right. as long as you're in this loan?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Whenever you know, sometimes the whole points thing can be confusing, but here's what it is: prepaid interest.
Yes,
you're going to pay me now because you don't want to pay me later. And so is there a discount there? Yes, as long as you're in the loan for a particular period of time. So in JD's example, if you pay me $2,000 now to save $20 a month, do the math.
Hey, you're writing me a check for $2,000, and I'm sending you $20 back a month for as long as you're in the loan.
And yes. FYI, from the accountant in me, that prepaid interest is deductible on your return. Now, there's going to be some changes
today.
Tax.
Yes. Today. Today.
Well, and of course, you know, the thing that comes up there is, you know, they're raising the individual deduction, so they're thinking people are not going to itemize moving
right.
forward. And so to your point, it may be deductible, but you may not be above the itemization, right. So it may not save you anything.
And the standard deduction is going to be 12, or is it 12 or 12.5?
It's going to be, I don't remember, but it's big.
Yeah.
And the married is like 23 or 24, something like that, so it's crazy.
It's a good chunk.
Well, listen, we got another question on the text line. We appreciate the texters. If you've got a question, shoot us a text over at 71307. And the question is, what's the best way to buy raw land property? Looking at 17 acres out just outside of Marietta, financing options should be at least 20% down. And so as a general rule, you know, what we do in the secondary market, you can't do on raw land. But if you're going to buy raw land, I think, you know, the first thing is you got to make sure we're going to hit the financing, but I know Keith wants to talk about it a little bit. The financing is going to depend on what you're doing. So at County Bank, we would refer that to a banker, and, you know, you could call JD 331-4663 or shoot him an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com, and we would hook you up with a banker that would then look at the financing. And so it really depends on what you're going to do with it. If you're going to buy it and build on it, then we would treat it like a lot loan, which generally give you 12 months interest only. And then if you're looking to do something else with it, that may change the financing. If you're looking for longer term financing on raw land, it's out there.
Yeah, it's a little tougher to find. Of course, you know, most of the time when you're buying land or a lot, you know, the plan needs to be in place on when you're going to build on that property as far as a primary residence goes. You know, is the question a lot of times they'll ask.
And then I know Keith wants to put his
spin
on this.
This is a good topic.
Yeah, so the question is, what are you going to do with it?
What are you going to do with it? Yeah. And a lot of times people don't think about a couple of things.
I got an answer to that.
Liquidity, right? So if you buy it and change your mind, liquidity, your money's tied up, may not be able to get it out as quickly. Inspecting, testing, environmental, survey, perk test. You want to people think when they buy land, they don't think about
the ditch
testing.
Can be.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we got an answer to our question, what are you going to do with it? It's buy and build. So in that particular situation, 20% down as a general rule, get a one-year interest-only
loan. When are you going to build?
And then when are you going to build? Because that'll determine how long you need that financing for.
Yep.
But in most cases, what we see is people say, hey, I'm going to do it. I'm going to build in the next year. And so you get an interest-only loan on that property, hold that until you're ready to roll into the construction loan. And then when you get to the construction side, you're going to have to make up your mind, do you want to do construction only or do you want to do a construction to perm? Yeah. How do you want to roll
into
that?
Again, on the real estate side, you can do typically a due diligence would be on a piece of raw land, and you would want to go ahead and perk it, survey it. Don't just guess at whether it's 17 acres or 18 acres. Make sure there are no encroachments, fence encroachments.
Surveys and all that,
Mutual rights of way. You know, a lot of times you'll see a driveway over the edge of the property line because Farmer John and Farmer Bill, it didn't really matter to them. That was the easiest way to cut that driveway in. They both used it, no big deal. But later on, it becomes an issue.
Well, and I will tell you this, too. One of the things that you'll want to look at if you're going to build on 17 acres is, okay, are you going to cut it into two chunks? Because, you know, finding
agricultural versus...
Well, let's talk about appraisal. Yeah. You know, from an appraisal perspective, you're going to want to... you know, obviously have the land value be as much as possible, but by the same respect, it's going to be more difficult to find comparables on 17 acres than it is five. So a lot of times we'll see people cut out a flagpole lot of 5 acres, and then the rest of the property is not going to be mortgaged or leaned when you get ready to do your construction and or permanent financing. So those are things that you're going to want to consider too. And then, like you said, Keith, what about encroachments? What about
and it's not inexpensive, Chris, to survey 17 acres.
Right.
I mean, I can't really give you a number, but I'm going to guess
$1,500, $2,000 at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And depending on how much is involved, yeah.
Well, and depending upon when's the last time it was surveyed.
That's right.
Are you out there looking for the rock that was in the stream that was two steps to the left, or are you looking for a pin that's in the ground?
Yeah, that's
right. Hopefully the caller or texter has already thought about all these things.
Sure.
If not, they're in a panic right now.
Yeah.
But I will say we could certainly help with the lot financing. Just give JD a call at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. And Keith, construction has been really busy because of the low inventory. We've seen a lot of people.
Prices have gone up.
Yeah.
Construction materials are up. There's a labor shortage. You know, you got to keep your subs busy this
sure.
day because they'll go somewhere else. Somebody will pay them a little more.
It reminds me of the old buyer's broker saying, number 422, if I can't talk you out of buying this this piece of land, and maybe not that, but it's probably the right.
If we can't talk you out of buying the house, it's probably the right house.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, back to the numbers, Keith. You were talking a little earlier about median price. Median price in June in the Greenville market was 203, which is up 10.2% year over year. That's a pretty healthy increase.
It is. And it looks like there's going to continue to be price pressure, both in the downtown and the suburban markets. Multiple offers are still very common, particularly at the entry level and really up to the median price.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, we always cover the Charleston numbers. Interesting thing down in Charleston is you had 1,927 transactions over 2003, so actually down 3.8%. And they continue to struggle in inventory with only 5,300 houses for sale, which inventory continues to drop there, down 11.5%.
And at 2,000 transactions, 6 months at equilibrium would yield about 12,000.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, they're listings. Running about 3 months inventory, something like that. Yes. I'll tell you that now they have an inventory problem.
Yes, yes.
That's an inventory problem.
It's a problem.
Yeah, that's correct. So anyway.
I told somebody the other day, you know what the problem is? They can't build but in three directions.
Well, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
One side is done. I mean, so.
Well, especially, you got James Island, out the Folly and all that. All that's already, probably running out of room out
saturated.
There. Yeah, exactly. West Ashley, you just got to keep on going, south. But.
Well, and I think we've talked a lot today about what's going on in the market, what the national news is, what Fannie said, what NAR said. But let's not forget, all real estate is local, right, Keith?
It is.
Marietta is different than the east side. The east side is different from downtown. And goals and objectives, you can't talk about them enough, both on the loan side, right, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then, of course, on the buy side. And what is it, buyer's broker saying, number 312, you make your money on the house.
You make your money when you buy it.
Not when you sell.
You don't realize profits until you sell.
There you go. That's right.
Well, listen, if you need some help looking for a piece of property, you got questions that you didn't get on the air today, you can always reach us at askjd@countybankmortgage.com, or you can give us a ring at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. You guys have a great weekend.
Have a good
Keith,
one.
Keith, enjoy the beach.
Thanks very much.
All right. We'll see you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.